I want to tell you, those two songs, is this on? Okay. Those two songs, I think that was the prettiest singing I have heard from the church. Y'all ready to sing this morning? And when the trio was supposed to sing this morning, but Brother Eugene's sick. He's here, but he couldn't get to practice, so... And when I got up this morning, my throat was a little sore. I've been praying the Lord will clear it up, so my voice might crack a little. But this song progresses from talking about the crushing load that we bear in this life, the sickness we have, and y'all know we have a lot of sickness in the church, a lot of people going through a lot of things, and if we let it, it can crush us. And then it continues, progresses until it says, my life overflows because of Christ. Listen to the words. Life was shattered. And hope was gone, crushing the load that I bore. Then out of the depths I cried, oh God, give me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterdays, more than I had before. Something more than wealth or fame, he gave me something worth living for. There with life at its lowest ebb, who could heal and restore? Then he came and mended my broken heart. He gave me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterdays, more than I had before. Something more than wealth or fame, he gave me something worth living for. Listen to this first line. Oh, the joy of sins forgiven. Nothing's the same as before. My life overflows since Jesus came and gave me something worth living for. Something more than my yesterdays, more than I had before. Something more than wealth or fame, he gave me something worth living for. me something worth living for. Isn't God good?
Amen. Thank you, Brother Steve. All right. At this time, we'll dismiss our children's church. Y'all give them a round of applause. Tell them thank you for coming out today. The rest of us will be in the book of 1 Corinthians. If you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn there. If you don't, we'll have it on the screen in front of you. Not too long ago, I talked about how 1 Corinthians was one of my favorite books. And probably not one of my favorite books to read, but probably one of my favorite books to study. I absolutely love what Paul was doing in the Corinthian church. It was not a good church. There was lots of things that they had. It was a letter of correction, but also a letter that showed the Corinthian church that Paul still loved them. And how many of y'all know that's essential? Especially as parents, you need to both be stern and loving. Amen? As church people, as godly people, stern and loving go hand in hand. They have to be there. We are supposed to provoke one another into good works and righteousness, and if we don't do that, we're a country club. Amen? And so pushing people into that way is exactly what we do. We encourage you to have ministries such as the Coastal Pregnancy Care Center, such as HIA, such as our youth program, such as all many things that we can do to push the gospel as much as possible. Now, with that, 1 Corinthians is such a great letter, because I find it is one of the few letters that really envelop modern-day Christianity. We have a lot of the same similarities, a lot of the same problems, a lot of the things that we would see. How many of y'all have ever heard the phrase, somebody says, oh, I don't go to church, I've been church hurt. The pastor said something and I didn't like it. Or there's somebody in there that they're not perfect, and they like to think that they are, and they're so self-righteous, and that church is full of a bunch of hypocrites. Y'all ever hear stuff like that? Listen, those topics are brought up in 1 Corinthians. 1 and 2 Corinthians, it's an incredible doctrinal study about how we're supposed to live in grace. Nobody is perfect. Amen? Including us. And so, as I read this, know this, what they're dealing with is a specific problem. I don't want you to focus on the specific problem. Their problem is, hey, as they're fighting amongst themselves. I was baptized of Paul. I was baptized of Christ. I was baptized of Barnabas. And they get all these ideas about, hey, you know, there's a lineage here. And Paul says a sort of answers. He says, hey, what differs between y'all is not important. There is a price to be paid for being a part of a New Testament, Bible-believing, grace-living church, and it has nothing to do about what makes you special. Your walk is your walk. But what unifies us is the blood of Christ, and that's what sanctified us, that's what unites us, that's the main purpose. And so if you will, read with me, if you'll stand for the reading of God's Word, we'll be in 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 10, and we'll go all the way down to verse 21. In verse 10 it says, "Now I beseech you, brethren, by the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, that ye all speak of the same thing, and that ye be no divisions among you, but that ye be perfectly joined together in the same mind and in the same judgment. For it hath been declared unto me of you, my brethren, by them which are of the house of Chloe, that there are contentions among you. Now this I say, that every one of you saith, I am of Paul, and I am of Apollos, and I am Cephas, and I am of Christ. And is Christ divided? And was Paul crucified for you? Were ye baptized in the name of Paul? I thank God that I baptized none of you but Crispus and Gaius, lest any should say that I had baptized in mine own name. And I baptized also the house of Stephanas. Besides, I know not whether I baptized any other. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the cross is to them which preach perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring nothing bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? And then this is our key verse for today. For after that, the wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask your blessings to be upon the reading of your word. Help us to properly align ourselves. Lord, with the word of God this morning, may you convict, guide, and help us on our path. It's in Jesus' holy name we do pray, our Lord, Savior, and friend. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing. I've entitled this Problems in Paradise. Problems in Paradise. Like I said, the Corinthian church was not a great church. It had lots of issues, lots of hurdles they had to overcome. But it offered something that they never had before. And I would like to go on in the fourth order of what Paul is preaching. He says, where is the prudent? Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? All of these people were people who did great and wondrous things. We would call them scholars, debaters. We would call them preachers of the word of God. These scribes were considered spiritually wise individuals because they would write the word of God, copy it, every day. And it was a precise thing. And have you ever wondered when they find old documents for scripture, how it is like 99.9% accurate to what we have today? That's pretty impressive for it being 2,000 years old. Well, we can thank these scribes for that. Because if there was one jot, one tittle, one little bit of that letter that was not right, the whole thing got scrapped. Now, it got to be such a precise thing for these scribes to know the Word of God that when it came down to copying the Word of God, when they got to the name Elohim, when they got to God's name, or whenever it says God, and just between you and I, God's mentioned quite fairly in scriptures. When they got to it, they would pause, pray, and dedicate that time for that one word. It was important that everything be copied precisely. So they were considered wise, they were considered respectful. But yet, the scribes, the scholars, the wise people of this world, there was never a church dedicated to their works. But Christ on it. Christ changed their lives. It wasn't just, hey, you know, this is God's word and I spoke it eloquently. No, Christ came and he says, look, I'm giving life and life more abundantly. I want to do a great thing for you. Listen and embrace this thing. And so Paul goes on to say, he's like, look, he says that of all the things that have happened, why are we talking about all the things we're attached to? What scribe? What person taught us? Where I was baptized? What was this? He says, what does it matter? Has there ever been a church of the philosophers of the Grecians? Has it ever been a church of that special scribe? They all do the same thing. He says, but the one thing that's different, the one thing that can change your life, is Jesus.
Amen.
He says, and I love Paul. Now listen, you can say what you want, but in this text, I connect a lot with Paul. If you will, this is just a little funny thing, and I want you to see it since I saw it. If you'll look at what Paul is saying here, look at verse 11 with me. He says, for it hath been declared to me, unto you, my brethren, to them which are the house of Chloe, that you are contentions among you. Now this I say, every one of you saith, I'm of Paul, and Apollos, and of Cephas, and of Christ. Is Christ divided? Is Paul crucified for you? Or where is baptized in the name of Paul? And then he goes on to make this statement. Now this is just one of the two funny parts that I find in this. He goes, I thank God I baptized none of you. And then he says, except for Cryphas and Gaius. He says, I don't ever want it to be say, hey, I was the one that baptized. Now listen, we have a very distinct difference in modern day culture with this text because the pastor typically baptizes the new believers that come in. But listen, that's not the New Testament way of things. And I mentioned this before, and I love it when people do this. If you lead somebody to the Lord, you're the one that baptizes. If you're the one that's giving off the gospel, if you're the one that's sending over, listen, then you're the one that has that privilege of baptizing. How many of you think it would be amazing if you led your family member to the Lord and then you got to be the one that baptized them? To me, that is amazing. That shows, and listen, I love the idea, and I love to put it in a little booklet and say, oh, we got baptized, and there's a picture of the mug. trying to drown your family members. But how much more so would it be if you put it in your family album that your mom, your dad, baptized your kids? So much more meaning. So much more understanding that there's weight behind my family believes this. I want this. I'm not attached to a thing. I'm attached to a people. And then he goes on the list. He says, lest there should be that I be baptized in my own name. He goes, oh yeah, and I baptized the house of Stephanus. It's almost as if Paul's saying, I'm a little ADHD here. He says, I baptized these little guys and nobody else. Oh, wait. I baptized these other people too. He's like, look, I have these things. I want these things to understand to you that this isn't why I came. And he goes on to say this. He says, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel. Not wisdom of words, lest the cross should be made of none effect. This is where my first part comes in. It's the idea of this garnering of past goods. This was a bad habit that got brought from Judaism to Christianity. It snuck itself in. If you remember when Christ was going, when he was talking to the Jews, he says, you say that you're the sons of Abraham, but I can make these stones the sons of Abraham. He says, your lineage means nothing. What you have done, the things that you have done in times past, your name, he says, it's squat in compared to everything. He says, what are you doing now? Who are you now? So we have these ideas of these people. They're sitting there. They're talking all these things that are, oh, I was baptized in Christ. I was baptized in Paul. I was baptized in Christ. He says, who cares what you did 20 years ago? Who cares what you did back when Jesus was walking? Who cares? The truth of the matter is that right here, right now, you're part of this church. And you are in tensions one with another because of what you did prior. Now listen, I've never lived under the great preaching of Billy Graham. I've never been to a Billy Graham crusade. I've never known anything like that. I got saved well after that was a thing. But it's funny how that I still am in the shadow of a Billy Graham crusade as a pastor. Matter of fact, I had the privilege one time to meet his son, who was in North Carolina. He was in Raleigh, and he come to the gas station that I was working at, and he comes out, and he's a huge man. If Billy Graham was anything like his son, Billy Graham was a monster of a man. He must have been a linebacker, could have been a linebacker, and he stuck out his hand. I was more shocked at how this man could break me if he wanted to, more than anything else. I didn't even know who he was until he left. They said, hey, you know, have you ever heard of Operation Christmas Child? I said, nope. I was like, I'm new to this whole Christian thing. I've only been saved for 2 years. He says, well, he runs and operates that. And I began to Google him and look him up and how, in the midst of these things, he had done a lot. But when I met him, I want you to notice this, and I want you to hear me out, and I hope that this is like you. At that moment, the only thing I cared about way of viewing him, how I viewed him in Christian circles. Was he polite? Was he nice? Did we talk about Jesus? If I was given the opportunity, I would try to lend him to the Lord. And that would have been very, very funny for me. Because I would have really understood how quickly I was above my pay grade. If you would, I didn't know anything about this guy, Franklin Graham. I didn't know anything about him. I didn't know anything about what he was doing. That moment, I saw so much of what Christianity does. He didn't leave without talking about Jesus. He talked about mission. He says, oh, you're studying the ministry. God bless you. We need more people like you. And he was just throwing off all the guys' confidence and everything else. Here's the thing. I don't care what million-dollar thing that you've done over the years. If today, Paul goes on to say this. He says, listen, he says, you do all these things. He says, but I haven't come. He says, I have come to preach, not baptize, not do anything else. He says, lest it be of no effect or none effect. Go with me in the next verse. He says, for the preaching of the cross to them that perish is foolishness, but unto us it is the saved, it is the power of God. He draws a line in the sand and he compares it. He puts this out. He says, listen, if you're going to understand what I'm about to say, what I'm about to teach to you, you have to recognize this. He says, there are people who will say this, it is your works, it is your things. Just as Brother John was saying, he's like, it doesn't matter about your works, lest any man should boast. He says, it's not about what you have done, it's about where you're going, what you're doing, your faith. Because I'm going to tell y'all this, y'all know this, you could be the nicest person in the world, but if you're not promoting Christ in your life, we're doing it wrong.
Amen.
If we're hanging our laurels on all the things we used to do, all the things where we came from, the churches that I've been a part of, the ministries that I've heard, the devotional books that I've read, if we put our laurels, everything that we are on those things, we've lost it. He says, you are either lost or you are saved. And for us, the word of God is paramount. In verse 19, he says, for it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise. I will bring nothing to understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe and the disputer of this world? Hath not God made foolishness the wisdom of the world? Paul goes on to this redundancy act. Not only is he's telling us, listen, I'm running out of time. I really want you to focus on this. If you can take one thing home with you, take this. This is one good nugget. You can go back. What I did yesterday doesn't matter. It's a lot like manna in Exodus. You get it for a day. It tastes wonderful. It's great. You feel it's wonderful. But if you lean on that, if you eat that the next day, and the next day, and the next day, it'll become poisonous and rotten in your gut. Do you hear me? Tomorrow cannot be fed by the acts of today. Every day you wake up renewed and refreshed and ready to do something for the Lord. Regardless of what that is, whether it be big or small, you plan to do something for Him. But if you're still feeding off the works of yesterday, we're going to get sick. Doesn't matter how faithful you've been, if you're missing out today. I really want that to resonate and to click. Because listen, we can say, oh, I'm a good Christian. I was raised in this. I went to VBS and I said a prayer and I've been a member of this church for such and such a time. But I just don't see the need of going anymore. I don't like it anymore. And there's a problem there. Do y'all see that? They're hooking up, they're placing all their laurels on the things that they used to do. And it's a problem that has crept in from day one of Jesus' ministry. It is not about what you did. It's not about who your daddy was. It's not about what you used to do. It's about what we're doing today. Secondly, Paul's a great speaker. Not only is he giving us the short answer, and he says, listen, he says, some of the problems that y'all are fighting, he says, it's not worth it. He says, he went directly from bickering and arguing amongst the people about who was baptized and who was doing this and who was doing that. And then he continues to, and he stretches this out and he says, hey, but that's not what I'm here. I'm here to preach. I'm not here to baptize. I'm not here to sit there and baby you. I'm not here to edify and grow you. I'm here to preach. I preach the word. God puts me somewhere else. I preach there and I preach the word and I go somewhere else. And I preach there and I give them the word and I'll go somewhere else. That's the way God's made me. He says, when I hear that in the house of Chloe, y'all have just divided yourselves up, he says, there's a problem. The problem is that what's priority is not priority for you. He took something that was the problem. He says, the quick answer to the problem is this, it's not worth your time. He says, as I am called to preach, so I preach to you. So this is what I want you to remember. He says, where are the scribes? Where is all the people that separated themselves? Where's all the people that said that they were wise? They're not. They're gone. They're about. They're no longer here. He says, but I preach unto you Christ. And that's the common thread. You may be baptized of such and such a preacher. You may have been led to the Lord by such and such a preacher. You may have attended such and such a church. But it doesn't matter. Can I get an amen to anybody?
Amen.
That doesn't matter. Matter of fact, I think that was the key of our Sunday school lesson this morning in our class. It doesn't matter where you come from. Doesn't matter where you're going, as long as Jesus is the center of all those things.
Amen.
Like a patchwork quilt, the modern day church is. It may look different, but it's tied together. God has threaded us together to have those things to create and accomplish a mission, to keep warm, if you will. He goes on with his understanding of these things. Let me tell you another text in James chapter 3. He gives us this understanding of the difference between worldly wisdom and spiritual wisdom. Who is a wise man that endured knowledge among you? Let him show out a good conversation, his works with meekness and wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but earthly, sensual, and devilish. And for where envying and strife is, there is also confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure and peaceable and gentle and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and of good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. I've written this down, and I don't want it to be left out. The difference between an earthly wisdom and a spiritual wisdom is that earthly wisdom always wants to stand apart. I'm better than you. I have more education than you. I've learned this. I know this. I'm better. I have these things. And they forsake unity at the expense of progress. I'm doing this for you. Paul is writing to them. He says, it doesn't matter where you come from. If you're forsaking the unity aspect of it, you've lost. Wouldn't it be nice for us to be, you know, set the biggest, most nicest, mission offering church in the whole U.S.? Oh, it would be great. We had $3 million, and we sent it off to Uruguay. Miss Molly, wouldn't you like to take that home with you? Yeah. $3 million to Uruguay. Hey, we may be the next president if we gave that kind of money. But what good would it do? We give so much money, but yet here we're fighting and bickering about every nickel, dime, and dollar. It doesn't do a lick. It doesn't. I would implore you and I ask you to understand this, is that, hey, that when it comes down to the things that are a priority, Jesus has always been and always will be. And a matter of fact, let me just put this one out there. This is more of a personal one. On this last note, in verse 17, he says, but the wisdom that is, oh, I'm sorry, that's in James. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, in verse 21, it says, for after that, in the wisdom of God, the world of wisdom knew not God. Jesus is not going to make sense. Those statements of saying, hey, progress is what we need to be. And if we're forsaking unity for progress, if that doesn't click with you, you're the problem. If we get to this idea, hey, it doesn't matter about unity as long as we're moving forward. It's my way or the highway. It's the right way. You're the problem. And this is not just about this church. I'm talking about home. I'm talking about our spousal relationships. I'm talking about all these things. If we get to this idea that unity doesn't really matter, we've lost. We'll go further in unity than we ever will with progress.
Amen.
He says, for after the wisdom of God, the world knew not God, and it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. I love this, and this is a personal one because this is my job. Preaching makes no sense. It is foolishness. And just for somebody to get up for 15, 20 minutes and spit at you, you know, and yell at you, and then you go away going, I like this. That's dumb. You know why we don't pass around all the places? Nobody likes to be paid to get spit off. Nobody likes that stuff. No, but for real, I want this to click, and this one's personal. I always think that the Word of God needs to be preached.
Amen.
Always and forever. Because as much as I love music, Scripture supports.
Amen.
Nobody gets saved with music.
The Word of God.
The Word of God. The preaching of the Word of God. This is sacred. This moment where we recognize, hey, what is the unifying thing? Well, this just means that God is foolish. That's what it says. It is, it pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. God's not always going to pick the most progressive, the most best way. He has his way and it needs to be done right. In Christ, I'm finished. I want to leave on this note. There's a lot of us. We come to a church. We hear the preaching. We either go, go get them, preacher. Shake that bush. That's what we said in Alabama. Shake that bush. And we get to this idea of, hey, that's good, hard, fire and brimstone kind of preaching. Or we go, eh, it really wasn't for me. I didn't get anything out of this. I get it. I understand it. Some preachers aren't our thing. But I didn't come for the preaching. I didn't come to be baptized as that particular person. I came for the Word of God.
Amen.
Now, a preacher's worth his salt. He will preach every word of the Word of God.
Amen.
If a preacher understands that why he's up here is not because he can eloquently say a few things, or that he can lead the people to give more, or that he can do a particular thing, the only reason that I stand in this pulpit today is because I am a fool for Christ. I think that his way is better than every way that I can put out.
Amen.
Whether it makes sense to me or not, worldly wisdom will never make sense. So this is where I want to end, and I want us to come to an altar. If musicians can go ahead and come as we get ready for this altar call. Paul's place here was twofold. He says, look, the quick answer is this. You've got your problem, and it's not worth your time. You're saying, oh, I was baptized with this. He says, it's not worth it. Throw it away. Who cares? You've been into this apple that what you've done in the past is good enough. He says, it's not. He says, but let me focus you. He says, I want you to know that I am the one thing that's going to connect you with every other person. That's what's important. Focus on me. The Lord spoke to you today with every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe you fall into one of those two categories. Maybe you're hanging your laurels on the things you used to do. This is where we lay them down and we're done with them. We're done with all of the niceties. We're done with holding on and saying, hey, my daddy was a preacher. My daddy was a deacon. Hey, I used to be this. I used to do this. I have given this. And we don't care. God does not care about what you used to do. Because all that does is bring division between you and the people who are giving something today. Maybe that's you. Maybe you are the second side of this. You want to give something today. You say, I recognize my desire, my want, and I want to give God the praise and the adoration for everything He's done us. God spoke to me in any part of the day, any part of this message, whether it be through the messages, whether it be through the singing, whether it be through the cling to that common thread that Jesus spoke to you today. He's spoken to you. He's asked you to pray. He's asked you to spend some time with Him. I'm not going to ask you to come to the altar. I'm not going to embarrass you, but I do want to pray for you. As a pastor, as a flock, I want to be a blessing to you. I want to lift you before the throne today. God spoke to you. Raise your hand. Up and about me down here before God. Bless you, God. Thank you. I thank God for everything that He's done in this church. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask a double blessing to be upon those who lift their hand in prayer. Lord, I know You're here. And there can be a single person here that You have not spoke to, that You have not preached to, that Your Spirit has not brought peace and comfort. I know that the base blessings will be upon every person who comes before Your presence today. But for those who heard and for those who moved, Lord, I pray that You would lighten their burdens. I pray that You would answer.